some of the situations that some of the people are in right now. And the Lord just kind of spoke to me just to start over again with some things, some very initial things about understanding His kingdom and how it works. And so we're doing that. We're just kind of doing that. Somebody tell me what John chapter 10 and verse 10 says to us. Thief cometh not but to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. He says, but I have come. You might have life and that you might have that more abundantly. Now, the purpose of Jesus Christ, the reason that He came, was to minister to mankind. Without ministering to mankind, without Him coming to give us life and that more abundantly, there was no purpose in Him coming at all. There was no reason for Him to come and be with Him. If you remove mankind from the ministry of Jesus Christ, then there was no reason for Him to come and minister. Do we understand that? The reason that Jesus Christ came was to seek and to save that which was lost. And I want us to maybe begin today. It would be a real good place. Look at with me in the book of 1 Timothy 1:15. 1 Timothy 1:15. I just want to accent this. I kind of wanted to talk about His mercy today. How many of us know that we will always have people in our fellowship that will always be going through problems? And some of these people will go through these same problems over and over and over and over. And it's not that the word isn't going forth or that the answer isn't given to us by the Spirit of the Lord, but it's that this just happens. This is just the way. But I want us to understand that it doesn't have to be that way, and that the ministry of Jesus Christ came so that you and I don't have to keep fighting the same Goliaths, don't have to keep wandering in the same wilderness, don't have to keep eating the same quail. We just don't. Why Jesus came was so that mankind could be ministered to, so that the kingdom of God could come upon us, that we can exist in a righteousness and a peace and in a joy in our life. Without mankind, there is no reason for Jesus to come. Am I getting this across? That the reason He came was to give you abundant life. And we can do this if we want. We can keep going through the same things if we want, but we really don't have to. 1 Timothy 1:15. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to do what? Save sinners. Among whom I am foremost of all. Does King James say chiefest? Now, do you have to be lost to be a sinner? Can you be an apostle and be a sinner? What does the word say? The apostle Paul wrote this. Does he say that he is a sinner? And not only a sinner, but a chief sinner? We've got to understand, folks, that sin is not necessarily a lost person. That sin, when we do this responsive readings and we confess sin, it's to cleanse us. It's to let us know that there is a propitiation that has been made for you and me. That though we do sin, there is a way to be cleansed from that sin. And that you can be an apostle and still sin. Be a good sinner and be an apostle. You can be a chief sinner. He doesn't say, I was a sinner. What does He say? I am. And so what Jesus came to do for us was to bring us into an abundant life. We don't have to sin, but we do. How many of you might have, didn't say you did, but might have sinned this week? Some of you are deacons and elders here. So what we've got to understand is that people will always be coming to our church. They'll always be having problems. Now, is it for us to judge those problems or to help the people and give them mercy? Mercy. What triumphs, judgment or mercy? Now, we could turn to this, but I want to try to just incorporate a little bit of this week and maybe develop it better next week or next time. Whenever I do again. But I just want us to understand that that when people come in with problems and they keep going through those problems, then what we have got to learn to do is give people mercy. They came to Jesus came to the scribes and the Pharisees in Matthew 23 and 23. He says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites." He says, "You tithe to the very seed of the mint and the dill in the cumin. You do it. You tithe. You sacrifice. You give." He says, "But there's a weightier subject. And among these weightier subjects is justice and mercy and faithfulness." He says, "Now you ought to do the first. How many knows you ought to tithe? But there's some weightier things. And we can tell you how much you need to tithe, and you do. You need to give into the kingdom of God because that works into you, God, first. God should always get the first fruit of everything. But what the Lord really wants us to understand is that when people are having problems and going through the same mountains, going around the same mountains, walking in the same wilderness, fighting the same Goliaths, eating the same quail. Let's turn to that one. Turn with me to the book of Numbers, chapter 11. I want to read you that quail scripture that I told you about last week. People keep doing the same things over and over and over. When this happens, the Lord really doesn't want us to be judgmental, criticizing them, beating on them. You know, the world does that, don't they? What he wants us to do is show them mercy. Help them, love them, compassion. Love people. In the book of Numbers, chapter 11, God loved these people so much that he gives them exactly what they wanted. And the reason that he does this is because they wanted to go back. They wanted to go back to Egypt. And they wanted to go back where there was onions and cucumbers and leeks and meat. They wanted to go back. They were tired of manna. And so, in the book of Numbers, let's read this little story. I don't know how much I want to read of it. Let's start with verse 16 of Numbers 11. "The Lord therefore said to Moses, gather for me 70 men from the elders of Israel whom..." Well, we don't need to read all that. Let's come on down. Verse 18. "And say to the people, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat. For you have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, oh, that someone would give us meat to eat. For we were well off in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. You shall eat not one day." You won't have to do this once. Or you won't have to do this 2 days. You won't have to do this just twice. You won't have to do it just 5 days, nor even 10 days. You won't even have to face it 20 times, but a whole month until it comes out your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you because you have rejected the Lord who is among you and have wept before him saying, why did we ever leave Egypt? To keep you from going back, God loves us so much. But to keep us from going back to the world, to going back to where we were, he'll give you what you want. He'll give us what we want. Not once, or twice, or 5 times, or 20 times. How many times will he give you what you want? Until it runs out your nose. Now, the Lord loves us. And to keep us from going back, he'll do this. Hoping that it'll work into us the principles of the kingdom of God. God wants us to go on with him. But if we won't go on with him, you can have your problem until it runs out your nose. Don't have to. If they would have went on, they would have been in Canaan in just a few days, in a land that's flowing with milk and honey and quail and grapes and pomegranates and everything else. But because they decided they would rather go back rather than going on, they had this problem until it ran out their nose. Now, how do we avoid the quail? How do we avoid this 1 day or 2 days or 5 days or 10 times or 20 times or 30 times? How do we avoid it? Well, that's what I'm really trying to teach about and talk about things that I've learned and things that I've witnessed in people's lives. What we've got to learn is to seek first the kingdom of God. And what this requires in our life is cultivation. Taking what we are learning and applying it to our lives. Taking what God teaches us and shows us, and then taking it and appropriating it into our very lives. I want to call it cultivation. You cultivate your life. You get the rocks out. You get the weeds out. You prepare the soil. It's about garden time. And the soil is now being prepared. And you're going to go out there with your tillers or your tractors, and you're going to start preparing the soil. You just don't go out there and drop the seed on top of the soil, do you? Or if they got a lot of rocks, do you throw out some of those rocks? You got weeds, do you pull the weeds? You prepare the soil, and that's our life. And our life has to be prepared so that we can come into the kingdom of God and be productive and then go into a bountiful and wonderful life. And let me go back through John chapter 3 so that I can hit this one more time as to why we are born again. John chapter 3, and then we'll look at Matthew 13, and then we're done. John chapter 3, very familiar scripture. Every one of you can quote it to me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, you must be born again. But the problem has been is that our born again experience is supposed to take us to heaven. And it will. But it's the mentality that you have of heaven. Heaven to me, is an abundant life. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6 says He has called us up and made us to sit together with Him in heavenly places. Right now, I am functioning in a heavenly dimension. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13 says that He has translated me from the kingdom of darkness into what? The kingdom of His dear Son. The kingdom of God is not something to me that will happen in some millennial reign out yonder. It's happening right now. Now, I'm not kingdom now only. I believe in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, and where there's ruling and the reigning on the thrones and the chairs in heaven and all the things that we've been taught throughout the years. But right now, if I understand the scriptures properly, I have already been translated into the kingdom. In John chapter 3, let's look at this. Nicodemus comes to Him by night. And then in verse 3, Jesus answers Nicodemus. Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot go to heaven." Is that what your Bible says? What does your Bible say? He cannot see the kingdom of God. The purpose of the born again experience is to see and then to enter the kingdom of God. Verse 5. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into heaven." Enter into the kingdom of God. So what the Lord came to do was to give us an experience. He came to give us an abundant life, and this life is to bring us into the kingdom of God. Now, how much of this kingdom of God, how much of our lives will this kingdom of God affect? Your whole life. That's what He's talking about here. He says it's like the wind. When the wind comes, He says, you really don't know where it came from. You don't really know where it's going. But you see its effects. You look at a tree and you see the wind blow against that tree. How many leaves on that tree are affected by the wind? Every leaf on that tree. When the kingdom of God comes into an individual's life, everything in that man's life or that woman's life is affected by the kingdom of God. Everything. Your finances are affected. Your marriage is affected. The way you raise your children is affected. The way you respond to your boss at work is affected. Everything is affected. The food you eat, the things you drink, the things you do to yourself is affected by the kingdom of God. Everything in our life is affected by the kingdom of God. So when we are born again, everything in our life should be changing, should be being changed into the mentalities of the kingdom of God. Now, I want to look at Matthew 13 and sow some seed and quit. Matthew chapter 13. This is the chapter that is full of kingdom parables. And I mentioned this, I think, last week.
And I just want to go back and kind of show you what I was talking about. In Matthew 13, verse 3, Jesus has come forth and he's wanting to minister to the people. And so he's talking to them in parables. And in verse 3, and he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, the sower went out to sow. And he sowed some seeds. Some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and devoured them. Others fell into the rocky places, where they did not have much soil, but immediately they sprang up, because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, were withered. And others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." The disciples came and they said, "Explain this to us. We don't understand." And he does in verse 18 of that same chapter. Hear the parable of the sower. How many want to hear the parable of the sower? You want your life to be productive. Tired of the fowls of the air coming because you don't understand something and taking it away from you. You're tired of the stones being in your life so that there's no depth in you. You're tired of the things choking out the Word of God. Do you want to really be productive now? You want to bring forth 100, 30, or 60-fold? You want something to come forth in your life. You want an abundant life. That's what this is about. Verse 19. When anyone hears the preaching of a preacher. Is that what it says? So tell me what that says. What does your Bible say you need to hear? The word of what? What is the kingdom? Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It is righteousness and peace and joy. The word, when the sower goes forth, when a preacher goes forth, he's sowing seed. That's what he's picturing. He's throwing out righteousness. He's throwing out peace. He's throwing out joy. The word of the kingdom, as it falls into your life, should bring forth then righteousness. Should bring forth peace. Righteousness, is that a difficult word? What does righteousness mean? It's doing it right. Doing it the way God wants us to do it. That's the only right way, isn't it? It's not difficult. Peace. How many want some peace? The words of the kingdom should bring you peace. Joy. And when the sower goes forth, the word of the kingdom should bring those things around in our lives. So he goes forth, and that's the word of the kingdom. The word of the kingdom goes forth. The sower goes forth. He starts throwing righteousness. This is how you have righteousness. This is how you have peace. And this is how you have joy. That's the word of the kingdom. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, what happens? The evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one whom the seed was sown beside the road, beside the pathway or the wayside. Now let's do a little Bible study. A word to understand. I don't know if you can see that back there. I'm trying to get a little focused. The word understand is not a difficult word. It just means to put together and to comprehend. Doesn't mean just to hear it. What does it mean? To put it together. You ever heard people make a statement about somebody, they really got it together? That means they have taken the things and put them together so that their life now projects a picture that they've got it together. They've put it together. What the sower goes forth to do is sow the seed, righteousness, peace, and joy. You take it, you apply it in your life, and you put things together. You put your life together. You put happiness together. You put an abundance together. You put it together. It's not just one little bit of what you want to hear. Some of you really like to hear me talk about eschatological things. You like to hear the end times things. You just want to eat the end of the lamb. Others like the other end. You just want to see things. I want to see it. You want the eyeballs. How much of the lamb do we have to eat? We have to put the whole thing together. And when the word goes forth and the sower goes forth to sow, we got to put it together. And when we don't put it together, what's going to happen? The devil comes, the enemy comes, and what does he do? Takes it away. And you go out of here, you're saying, man, I don't understand that. That don't make no sense. The reason it didn't is because you didn't take it and put it together. We go out, boy, I don't like that. I don't agree with that. I don't like that. I see it, but I don't receive it. Brother, I don't know if I believe that. It doesn't matter whether you believe me or not. What does the word of the Lord say? Put it together. All I can do is sow it. So that's what happens. When we don't put it together, when we don't put it into our lives, the thief comes, the enemy comes and takes it away. Verse 20. And the one of whom seed was sown on the rocky place, this is the man who hears the word. Did he hear it? He hears the word. This is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Boy, that was good. Pastor, that was the best message you've ever preached. Now, some of you have told me that. Some of you have never told me that, but some of you have told me that. Boy, that was good. I was so good, that makes me happy. Yet, he has no firm root in himself. Firm root in what? Himself. You got to believe in yourself. You got to have a root in yourself. There's no firm root in yourself. No depth. No firm root in yourself. Where am I at? He has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. Do you realize there are temporary Christians? And when affliction and persecution arises, because of what? The word. Immediately he falls away. Now, the word falls away is interesting. The word falls away is the Greek word scandalizo. We get our word scandal. Means, King James Bible says offend. It's up there. It means to entrap and trip up. Something happens in your life that trips you up. It becomes a scandal. It offends you. Somebody makes you mad, hurts your feelings. Preacher says something you don't agree with. Someone comes to you, give you a word of encouragement, exhortation, correction. It offends you. You know what the Word of God says. But I really do need to listen to my elders. I really do need to listen to what people God say to me. I really do need to seek counsel. But I ain't going to do it. I know the Word says to do this, but I'm just not going to do it. What's it doing to you? It's tripping you up. You fall. You hadn't received the word of the kingdom. Oh, it was good to start with. How many knows you need to forgive? Know it, don't you? Do we always forgive? Next one. Verse 22. And the one of whom, on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. It becomes unfruitful. There's no fruit being bore. Let's look at this word. This individual comes against hard times. There's afflictions and tribulations. Dr. Cash was talking about it earlier. You pay your tithe, you'll never have tribulation, right? No way, Jose. In this world, you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. There's a way to overcome it. So understand that. Understand that we are going to go through things. But when you go through those things, don't let it choke the Word of God out of you. Let the Word of God come forth out of you. And this word, tribulation, simply means pressure. How many of you ever feel pressure? Yeah. Tracing it on down to its root. Yeah. Means to crowd. You ever feel crowded? Like things are just coming at you from every side. That there's just no way out, that you're crowded. And then, that's that word. And then persecution means to pursue. Ever feel like you just can't get away from some things? They just keep pursuing you. Well, the word has a way to get out of it. And if you'll obey the word, that thing will stop pursuing you. You'll stop feeling crowded. And you'll overcome it. But if we don't do that, then what it does is choke us. It just chokes us. The word actually means to completely strangle you. See families that look like they're going under, man. Third time, fourth time, 20th time, 30th time. And there's a way out of it in the Word of God. It's there. The sower goes forth to sow the seed. The answer is in the Word. We don't have to choke if we prepare our lives and receive the seed. Completely strangled. I see people that looks like they're just being completely strangled by things. What verse was on? Verse 22. And the one who seed sown among the thorns is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Chokes the word. How many has ever had the world bother you a little bit? You worry sometimes. You worry kind of consumes you. You live to worry. You get up in the morning, you say, what can I worry about today? Some of you are snickering, but listen, there are really people that struggle with this. And it's a thing that you've got to get. It's a stone you got to get out of your life. It's a thorn. It's a bush that wants to choke the word out of you. It's a scandal. It'll cause you to stumble. These are things that we have got to be able to think about. What does the Bible tell us to think about? Those things in which we worry? Are those things that are true? And those things that are honest? And those things that are pure? And those things that are of a good report? What should we think on? Don't wake up and worry. Deceitfulness of riches. How many of you worry about money? Now, I know nobody's going to raise your hand, so I'm not even going to ask you to. You know the people that worry about the most about money? People don't have any. Really? People have money. Don't worry about it. Kind of makes sense, doesn't it, when you think about it? People that worry most about money, people don't have any. So why worry about it if you don't have any? We live to worry. And the answer is in the Word of God. The answer is just plainly in the Word of God. And then he says, but the good soil does what? The one of whom the seed was sown on the good ground, the ground that has been prepared, these rocks taken out, these weeds taken out. Well, the rocks are taken out and the seeds taken out. I mean, not the seed, but the rocks taken out and the weeds are taken out and the seed falls on good soil. What happens to this life? What happens to this person? Produces. Your life is abundant. Have an abundant life. And so what I'm just trying to say this morning is that the Lord Jesus Christ came into your life to minister to you so that you don't have to fight the same Goliaths, walk around in the same wilderness, eat the same quail. He came that you can have abundance, an abundant life. I'll promise you that we're not going to judge you, though you fight the same Goliath, though you go through the same wilderness. We want to help you. I will sow seed. If you will allow that seed to fall into your life, you will have an abundant life. If you will seek the counsel of godly people, you will have an abundant life if you will put it together. But if you come and receive counsel and walk out of here and say, I don't really receive that. I don't like that. The devil comes, takes it away, and you're non-productive. And you're going to have it sown again, and you're going to go through the same thing again. It's going to go round and around and around. We're not judging people. I want that to be clear. This presentation of the word that we're trying to project right now, if I'm not cautious, people will think I'm talking about them. I'm preaching to them. I am not doing that. The purpose of this teaching
is to try to show us some basics again that we don't have to keep going through those same things. We don't have to. The Lord came, and His ministry was to mankind. Without His ministry, there was no need for Him coming. Without ministering to people, there was no reason for Jesus Christ coming into your life. How many of you have Jesus Christ in your life? I mean, you know that He dwells and lives in you. If this is true, raise your hand. I want you to proclaim it right now. He's in you. And the reason that He's there is to give you life, and that more abundantly. We just don't have to keep facing the same things. Well, all right. How many is tired of eating quail? I am. I really am. I face things over and over sometimes. I don't have to. I basically do it because I haven't let the Word of God get root in my life in that particular situation. But when it does, it brings forth fruit, and I can be abundant, even in that area of my life. No service tonight. You come, we won't be here. I'm going to Griffin. I'm going down to see my mom and daddy. Hadn't seen them in a while. We're also going, most of you know Kimberly. Kimberly's being baptized tonight. That's my niece. She's had a hell of a life. Literally. And the Lord God has saved her. And now He's baptizing her in water tonight. And I'm going to go witness it. It's an answer to prayer. It's an answer. You prayed for her. And it's an answer to prayer. God has saved her. Saving her children. Man, I'm telling you. God is good, isn't He? Stand with me. Why were you born again? Why does the Bible say that you were born again? See the kingdom and enter the kingdom. That's why. No other reason. That's it. Abundance is in the kingdom of God. All good and perfect things come from where? Above. We've got to understand that. We've got to set our affections on things which are above. We've got to not be in coercion with the world. We've got to be in it, but not of it. And we've got to understand that there are eternal things and there are temporal things. We set our affection on temporal things. That's what we do. And we'll talk about that sometime too. But the sower goes forth, and if you can allow the Word of God to fall into your heart and then put it together, you can have an abundant life. How many believe that I told you is the truth? Is that right? It works. It does. Father, I pray that the sower has gone forth and